Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the next Republican primary, which is in Nevada on Saturday, and speak with Eric Herzig, who is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of Political Science at the University of Nevada, Reno. Following Mitt Romney's remark that he is not concerned about the very poor, we will discuss how that will play in a state that is suffering some of the worst unemployment and the most foreclosures in the nation. Then we'll examine the secret NATO report based on thousands of interviews with captured Taliban fighters that reveal a pervasive confidence amongst the insurgents that they will win what has become the U.S.'s longest war. Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the State Department's Intelligence Bureau, joins us to assess the report in the light of Secretary of Defense Panetta's recent remarks that the United States might be planning on getting out of Afghanistan earlier than 2014. Then finally, we will look into the decision by the Susan G. Komen for the Cura Foundation to stop granting funds to Planned Parenthood for breast cancer screening of women. The former head of Planned Parenthood, Gloria Felt, joins us. She is the author of No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power. And also joining us to talk further about the politicization of women's health is Frances Kissling, the former president of Catholics for Choice. We will discuss Mitt Romney's attempt to join Catholic bishops in making a religious liberty campaign issue out of the Obama administration's requirement for insurance companies to provide insurance coverage for birth control. And joining us now is Eric Herzig, who is professor of political science and chair of the Department of Political Science at the University of Nevada, Reno, where he teaches American politics, American presidency, and the politics of Nevada. His research primarily relates to Nevada state and local government, and he also serves as the chair of the Nevada Faculty Senate. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eric Herzig.
It's a pleasure to be on.
And today there was a somewhat surreal scene in Las Vegas where Donald Trump at his Las Vegas luxury hotel welcomed and shared the stage with Mitt Romney, who said there are some things that you just can't imagine happening in your life. And this is one of them, being endorsed by Donald Trump, who, of course, whose famous signature on television, "You're fired." And this comes after a day that Mitt Romney got into trouble with a television interview where he said he was not concerned about the very poor. What did you think of today's events?
Well, one, it's Donald Trump, and so there's obviously a media angle to it. But Donald wanted to be involved in politics and kind of fell flat, so he's injected himself back in. If I'm Mitt Romney, I think I'll take this endorsement. I'll take the endorsements that are coming. If I'm the other candidates, I may make light of it. But in terms of what Romney has coming into Nevada, which is momentum, this is another good sign.
And, of course, he already, well, in 2008, it was a blowout win for Romney, with Ron Paul coming in a distant second. Now, of course, the polls, the Cannon survey at your university, University of Nevada, has Romney 45%, Gingrich at 25%, Santorum at 11%, and Ron Paul with 9%. And that's a bit odd, isn't it, that Paul is so way down? Because Paul's actually put a lot of investment in the state of Nevada.
I think that Paul will do much better than that. A phone survey is probably not going to catch the Paul supporters. And the Paul supporters are very well organized. They're very intense. They're going to show up. That much you can pretty much bet on. There's also an issue where the Ron Paul people have done some caucus training. They had a run-in with the state Republican Party 4 years ago at our state convention. And there are some hard feelings lingering from that, where the traditional Republicans kind of gaveled the convention to a close to shut out the Ron Paul people. So I would take that part of the poll with a grain of salt. The bad news for Newt Gingrich in that poll is in December, he was maybe 5 or 6 points behind Romney, and now that gap has widened. And Rick Santorum, who was a blip on the polls in December, has emerged, and I don't think that's because Nevadans really know much about Rick Santorum except that he's very conservative, and maybe many conservatives are saying, well, Newt's not going to be the guy, so Rick Santorum's going to get my vote, at least on caucus day.
Well, Rick Santorum was just endorsed by Sharon Angle, the Tea Party favourite and former Nevada State Assemblywoman who ran unsuccessfully in the last election. Is that a help?
Well, it'll be a marginal help to Santorum because she still has, of the most conservative in the evangelical Republicans, she still has a base, but that base has declined dramatically. And many Republicans are less than enamored with Ms. Angle after the debacle of her run against Harry Reid. I mean, Harry Reid was a very vulnerable incumbent, and he not only won, but he won pretty handily, and she ran really a pretty inept campaign. Reid ran a great campaign, there's no denying that, but even so, Angle's support, again, with the conservative, Tea Party, evangelicals, and that's a smaller part of the Nevada Republican Party than you would say in South Carolina or Florida. Marginal help, but it's not going to really propel Santorum too far.
Again, I'm speaking with Eric Herzig, who is professor of political science and chair of the Department of Political Science at the University of Nevada, Reno. And we're talking about the caucuses taking place on Saturday in Nevada with 28 delegates at stake, awarded proportionally. Mitt Romney comes into the race, the clear favorite, and of course he won handily back in 2008. And among, in terms of the Mormon support in that state, although Mormons are apparently a small percentage of the Nevada population, they make up one quarter of the GOP caucus goers. That's in 2008, and Romney had 85% of their support. So that's likely to repeat itself, right?
Oh, I would agree. I mean, Ron Paul's made an effort to try to make some inroads with that group, but all things being equal, Mitt Romney is going to get that vote, and as you note, it's far more significant within the Republican Party and certainly among caucus goers. The advantage there for Romney is he doesn't have to go in and justify himself with that group. His family life is pretty much above reproach, meets, in a sense, the stereotype of what the Mormons would like to see. And he got beat up in, say, South Carolina. He got this question of whether Mormonism is truly Christianity. And I'm sure many Mormons are looking at that saying, this is a guy who's living it, and yet you good evangelicals are saying, oh, Newt Gingrich is our standard bearer. And so there may be even some resentment in terms of how Romney was treated in the American South. So I don't think Ron Paul's effort with that group is going to be very successful. Gingrich would largely be persona non grata, and Romney has done nothing to hurt himself.
But I think surely, Eric Herzig, that given the disquiet, shall we say, amongst the Christian evangelicals about Mormonism, I think in this race it's been pretty muted, hasn't it? I think there was even a greater expectation that there'd be more anti-Mormon bigotry come out than has so far.
That's debatable. I mean, certainly the introduction by Rick Perry's minister raised the issue.
Well, I think that was Perry's opening remarks, wasn't it? He like a neon sign saying, "I'm not a Mormon."
that may play in the South. It's been somewhat muted, but when you hear people saying, and it was far worse in South Carolina, saying, "We need a strong Christian leader," and if you then put comma, and Mormons aren't Christian, that's a message. I still think Romney has that problem in the American South. If you're out west, Mormonism is common. It's part of the mainstream of Western life. Where in the South, it's still seen as kind of fairly exotic. Part of that is just Romney working with the evangelicals. He's not conservative enough for them, not only perhaps on religious grounds, but also on political grounds. And so you can always say, well, no, it's just a political thing. What's a Mormon? So it's an issue, but out here, and particularly in Nevada, it's, if anything, a positive for it.
So, Eric Herzig, as I mentioned, Romney appeared on stage with Donald Trump at his casino in Vegas, where Trump gave him his endorsement for what it's worth. And he's now in Reno, where you are. Gingrich is in Nevada as well. And tonight he's meeting at a fancy restaurant called Mundo, which is owned by a guy called George Harris, who's an associate of the billionaire casino magnate Sheldon Adelson. And of course, as we know, the Adelson family members have given Gingrich's super PAC $11 million so far. There's no confirmation or not whether Adelson will be at this fundraiser. But after giving $11 million, one wonders whether he's going to write any more checks. But how's that playing in? Is that a plus for Gingrich? I mean, he's clearly not doing that well in the polls. And there's a lot of, obviously, disquiet, I would think, amongst the Republican establishment that he's going to be a spoiler.
That last statement is certainly true. The Adelson money was very important to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina. Gingrich was, on the rope, so to speak. He gets this infusion of cash. He goes back to the American South, which is Gingrich's base, and sure enough, he wins the race. Gingrich couldn't follow that up in Florida, though. Gingrich ran a very poor campaign. I mean, he was all over the landscape with issues. He had very mixed debate results. Romney focused his message, spent a lot of his own money slamming Gingrich. So the Adelson money, I think, has had most of its effect. Moving into Nevada, Adelson, he's a rich casino mogul. We have several of those, and he likes to dabble in politics. We have several of those. But he's never been a kingmaker in Nevada politics. I don't want to discount his money. By the same token, I don't think it'll be definitive, particularly in Nevada politics, where, we've seen this type of act before.
Well, I think Nevada is a fairly heavily unionized state, and I think it tends to go Democratic, doesn't it? And I'm wondering whether the fact that Adelson is his zealously anti-union, and I think he's the only his hotel is the only one that's not unionized, is there an anti-union sentiment there in the GOP base?
Well, the anti-union sentiment certainly won't hurt anybody in the Republican Party. That will become a bigger factor in the general election, where the union vote is very important in the general election or in a Democratic primary. Among Republicans, it's pretty standard. No, we're not going to really back union efforts. Adelson is one of the most vocal anti-union casino owners. And so right now, for the caucus, there's in a sense no harm, no foul. But I would be cautious moving forward particularly for Romney. Now, Romney has to start thinking of how he's going to talk about these issues when he comes back, assuming he's the nominee. The more things you say that to ingratiate yourself, let's say, with the most conservative base, the harder it is for you to then come back and talk to two big groups that will be influential in the Nevada general election, organized labor and Latinos.
Well, the other thing, of course, is that what Romney was trying to say that got him in trouble was that he was not concerned about the very poor. He then said, but he's really concerned about the middle class, and he's not concerned about the very rich. The middle class, I understand, in Nevada has suffered enormously from the crash of 2008 and the subprime housing bubble bursting and the tremendous foreclosures there. How's a member of the 1% playing in that environment?
I don't think Romney's hurt at all by being a rich guy or by promoting his, I was a businessman or I ran Bain Capital. That's more in line with particularly the Nevada Republican Party. We're not a social conservative-oriented Republican Party. It's far more a business and anti-tax and small government party. I think once the dust clears off of that statement, and I like the way that you stated it, he was trying to make a statement about support for the middle class more than anything else. He didn't deliver it very well, obviously. And when it comes back to Nevada, you're exactly right in terms of Nevada is hurting. We have the highest unemployment rate. We have the highest foreclosure rate. We've seen the highest year-over-year drop in per capita income or personal income reports. And so that's, if Romney can, in a sense, come back, assuming he's the nominee, and hone that message and really kind of put it back on Obama, saying your stimulus didn't work, your Green Jobs Initiative, which has really been promoted in Nevada, hasn't worked, I'm a job creator, then he may go somewhere. However, again, one of these things that, be careful what you say early in the election, he came out to Las Vegas, I want to say about a month ago, and made a comment that, well, just let the market bottom out and it'll take care of itself in terms of the housing market. And he said this to a woman who's losing her home. Again, it was a message that kind of, you know, you could have said that in a sense a more compassionate or a better way.
Well, just in closing, Eric Hirsig, just to get a kind of flavor for the state. I know, this is not going to be a cliffhanger like Florida was, because I think that's pretty foregone conclusion that this will be won by Romney. And since the delegates are awarded proportionally, then maybe some of the others will come out with a little bit, but it's not a huge count, and there's a long way to go. And clearly, if Gingrich stays in the race, it's going to be quite difficult. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the Republican establishment would like him to go away, and they don't want this bloodletting to go on all the way till August in Tampa. But how's the general mood in terms of the Republican Party there? You had that big scandal with John Ensign, the senator who ran as a kind of born again pious Christian, and ended up getting involved in a very sordid affair where he paid off he was having an affair with the wife of his chief of staff, and he had the family money pay the guy off. Has that left a kind of stain in terms of, or is it just, the evangelical base just, they've forgiven Gingrich after all? So I wanted to try and get a sense of where the party stands now in terms of its moral standing.
Well, the most conservative part of the Nevada Republican Party hasn't had a very good last couple of years. Not only the Ensign scandal, but then you had Sharon Engel, the Tea Party darling, just get beaten pretty badly by Harry Reid. The mainstream of the Republican Party, however that may get defined, has struggled as well, though. The party has had a series of state directors. There's been a lot of infighting in the party among various factions and personalities. And the Republican Party in Nevada really needs to solve that, because the Democratic Party, in contrast right now, is very well organized. They've also got kind of Harry Reid's shadow Democratic Party organization. Barack Obama in 2008 showed he certainly could organize in the state. You've got labor, they've got organization. And so the Republican Party right now, they're enthused. They see Obama as potential. He can be beaten. But they need to get their act together organizationally, or it could be a replay of the Reid-Engel race.
Well, Eric Hirsig, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Eric Hirsig, who's a professor of political science and chair of the Department of Political Science at the University of Nevada, Reno, where he teaches American politics, American presidency, and the politics of Nevada. His research primarily relates to Nevada state and local government, and he also serves as the chair of the Nevada Faculty Senate. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the secret NATO report that indicates that we have all but lost the Afghan war.
They want you lost in your own fear. No compass, find your way out. A troglodyte, a derelict barn campaign. Pretend the filthy rich, the beggar's ditch guy.